This is Fresh Air. Today and tomorrow, we're looking at the issue of violence on television. The government is threatening to step in. Attorney General Janet Reno and Senator Paul Simon have warned that if the TV industry doesn't make a move to reduce violence, the government will. Brandon Tartikoff headed NBC's entertainment division from 1980 to 1992. He moved the network out of last place into first. Now he has his own independent production company. He, too, is concerned about violence in America, but as for TV, he says there's actually less violence on the networks now than there was 5 years ago.
There actually is more action shows, there are more action shows in syndication than there are actually on the networks. Programs that, that appear on either independent stations or are syndicated across the country to the stations that take them, like The Untouchables and Acapulco Heat and Renegades and Time Tracks, things like that. Right now, the reason action shows are in such low volume is because of the cost. I mean, that's kind of the irony for me in this whole situation, is that everybody's coming down on violence, and the major networks can't afford to put violence on because it costs too much. It costs too much for car chases and, Uzis firing rounds of ammunition like they used to on Miami Vice and Crime Story and other programs.
So that's why there's so many sitcoms as opposed to dramas and action shows on network TV?
I think the reason there's so many sitcoms is because right now that seems to be the only program form that has syndication value. In other words, has an afterlife after its network run on local stations being stripped for play on, on afternoon slots or in the late evening, 11 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Those kinds of properties hold up better 3 or 4 years after their network run.
You know, Senator Simon, who's spearheading this campaign against violence on television, came up with a law 3 years ago that enabled the television networks to get together to come up with some kind of standards for lowering violence on TV without being subjected to violation of antitrust laws. And he says that the networks met after that, and that's one of the reasons why there's less violence on TV than there was before. Does that ring true to you?
Yeah, well, I think the nature of Hollywood is that it immediately reacts to a situation. I'm not saying that that's going to be a long-lasting effect. Certainly the congregation of executives, producers, writers, whatever, that took place last August in Hollywood resulted in a lot of the kind of true crime dramas, the movies of the week, the Amy Fisher type movies, or the kinds of movies where one member of the family kills another, or some jealous husband goes after his wife's boyfriend. Those kinds of movie forms that have been very prevalent in the last few years have been lessened, mainly because advertisers have not been that friendly to them, and also because executives are afraid if they put on too much of that kind of stuff now, that there's a watchdog in Congress that is going to call them to task for it.
What happened at that meeting last August? This was a meeting organized in response to Senator Paul Simon?
Yeah, well, I wasn't at the actual meeting because I live in New Orleans now, but from the reports that I read, it seemed like there was a lot of speechifying, a lot of people getting up and making articulate, impassioned speeches about the First Amendment and their rights as creators to realize their visions on TV, and then other people saying, yeah, but you've got impressionable minds and you're contributing to the problem and whatever. I think the resolution of that meeting was certain standards relating to violence and the amount of tonnage that would be acceptable, and certainly the networks pledging that they would that they would address the problem. And I think in the immediate sense what they did is anybody who came into their offices over the next few weeks and few months peddling something that could be perceived as being a violent show or having a violent quotient to it didn't make a sale. I'm not so sure that that's the case now, but I know that that was certainly the case in September, October, and November.
Do you consider this a good thing, or do you consider this the chilling effect of the congressional threats?
Well, anytime somebody starts to make noises about, you know, we should restrict you about the amount of this or that that you can put on the airwaves, I think you get into real dangerous waters. I mean, if somebody from Congress or in the government, like Attorney General Reno, says, you know, I don't really like all this violence, we're going to come down on you guys for it, you're only a couple of steps away from somebody saying, you know, we don't really like all the sexual matters and sexual content to some of your programs, we're going to restrict that too. And what you're going to end up is with a situation where you're going to have the equivalent of electronic book burning. And people are going to say, you know, we don't really like the political views that you have expressed in your news programs and your take on what our foreign policy is over here. And once they're in your backyard, you can't really easily get them out of your backyard. And I think, you know, the broadcast medium has been there for 50 years. It certainly served the country well. It certainly put on a lot of great things. And I don't know why, you know, now that we're about to hit the millennium, that we have to have, you know, legislation and censorship and labeling and everything else. I think what we need is executives to have the, you know, the right moral standards and the ability to exercise good judgment and good taste.
My guest is Brandon Tartikoff, former head of NBC's entertainment division. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Brandon Tartikoff. Given the reality of the situation, do you think it would be smart of the television industry to create more guidelines for self-regulation in order to fend off legislation?
Well, I think I'll speak for the four networks right now. I think what they have to do is that they have to have follow-through on what happened last August. In other words, they can't do what they often do, which is over time, sort of as the months accumulate from last August to wherever we're going to be in the early spring, they can't forget the messages that were being put to them in that, you know, get-together last August. I also think that it probably would be smart to have a body like the MPAA is for movies that could look at the content of the various programs. Again, most of the offenders to the violence issue exist outside of network television. It exists on cable entities. It exists in independent syndication with a lot of the one-hour action shows. But I think that an MPAA-like body is probably not a terrible idea, assuming that they're a rather rational group.
What Senator Simon has proposed is a report card that would be issued to the television networks, cable and broadcast, that would evaluate how it's doing on the issue of violence. What would you think of that?
I don't know. It seems like there are bigger issues in our society that we should be dealing with than, you know, grading systems for networks and stuff like that. I think the issue of violence on television was a real convenient issue for everybody to get behind. Once you raise that issue, I can see that it's very tough for a politician to get off the bandwagon having stirred it up because, you know, they love hearing the cheers and they love, you know, they love being in the press and everything. The business of television is a 365-day-a-year job. Everybody works real hard at their jobs, so everybody doesn't have time to sit and take their pulse and do report cards and everything else. I think, you know, responsible people are going to do their jobs responsibly, and they don't need some higher body legislating whether they've been good or bad, you know, in the given time frame or the past year. What I think needs to be done on television is to put on, you know, an exciting variety of programs. A lot of divergent tastes, divergent cultures need to be represented on television. So morally, I'm opposed to anything that starts removing certain kinds of content from the overall spectrum of television. We're about to move to a 500-channel universe. It's going to be rather sad that with the technology to have all of those different channels filled with a cornucopia of different kinds of program formats, that we're going to now restrict, we're going to remove, you know, 25% of the spectrum just because we've got an arbitrary group of legislators that feel that they can get passage on something to that effect.
In your years as a network executive, did you ever face pressures similar to the pressures now being faced by network executives on the issue of violence?
Most of the pressures that I would feel during my time, which was pretty much during the decade of the 80s, was pressure not necessarily from legislators, but from advertisers and occasionally special interest groups on the issue of sex and occasionally violence. I mean, nothing gets a programmer's attention more than the head of sales calling them up and saying that they can't sell one unit in a program because no advertiser wants to be in it. And you don't need Congress to affect that. That already happens.
Brandon Tartikoff is the former head of NBC's entertainment division. He now heads his own production company. We'll talk about TV violence with TV critic David Bianculli in a minute. This is Fresh Air. Few people watch more television than our TV critic, David Bianculli, so we wanted to get his thoughts on the violence controversy. I asked him if he gets the impression that some of the people at the forefront of the debate don't watch much TV.
Most of them don't. They've told me that directly, and it maddens me that they're not fluent in what they're arguing against. They just don't watch a lot of it.
Who told you they don't watch TV?
Paul Simon. When he called me, feeling out the idea of a viewer panel sort of thing was one. And because I'd written an open letter in the Daily News saying, look, the people who are the violence counters don't watch a lot of television, and they're just counting. They're not doing context. The social scientists have their own agenda to grind. The network people only watch the stuff that they produce for their own network. And the politicians watch very little. I mean, they should be busy being politicians. So there's nobody in the debate right now that's watching everything that's out there except for viewers and TV critics.
You watch a lot of TV. You watch TV.
I watch too much TV.
Day in and day
yes.
out. Do you think there's a problem with too much violence on television?
Not where they're aiming and saying the problem is. I don't think in network television right now there's much of a problem at all. It's less violent than it was in 85. It's less violent than it was in the late 60s. In commercial syndicated first-run television, so much more TV is being produced that that's where one of the problems is on broadcast TV, both in first-run programming like The Untouchables and Kung Fu, The Legend Continues, and in off-network programs that were produced in the 60s and 70s and 80s that are now being put in along with adult programming during early evening hours on local stations.
What are the shows on the network schedules now that are perceived by people in Congress as being too violent? Can you think
well,
of any?
Well, they don't even perceive all the right ones. They're pointing out things like a bar fist fight on Love and War, when it's obvious they haven't seen any other examples of that situation comedy to realize what a stupid choice that is. Or they'll take a movie that is on one time in sweeps and they'll say, aha, that's terribly violent, or just the title of one. The opposite extremes in primetime are like NYPD Blue on ABC and Walker, Texas Ranger on CBS. The first one is a wonderful show, which has some violence in it, but if you watch the program, it's totally defensible and interesting and, I think, adult and mature. On the other hand, you have Chuck Norris in Walker, Texas Ranger just, you know, kicking people and being stupid, and CBS puts it on anyway because it's very popular. Another dilemma.
Now, what about made-for-TV movies? I know, for instance, there's one person, Kent Conrad, a Democrat from North Dakota, who has been denouncing an NBC made-for-TV movie that hasn't been shown yet called Witness to Execution.
Hasn't been made yet.
Hasn't been made yet,
yes.
Even.
I mean, this
okay.
is. I wish I could get into this sort of criticism. It would save me so much viewing time. You know, I'm going to hate all next year of Full House, so just keep me away from it.
So he's denouncing a movie that hasn't even been made.
Right. And what he's talking about is concept rather than context and content.
What's the concept of the film that he's
denouncing? The concept is that in a 500-channel universe, maybe one channel is going to try and stand out from all the others by broadcasting a live execution. In context, it could be very interesting, or it could be terrible. But the idea is you really ought to allow them to make these things and to show them and then judge them.
An NBC network executive said that this criticism is an example, quote, of the corrosive atmosphere of censorship that is being created, unquote. Do you think this controversy about violence in television is creating an atmosphere of censorship?
Yes, but it's also there's also a corrosive atmosphere of bad taste. I'm not going to let the networks off the hook. When you have, you know, all these Amy Fisher movies or you have people rushing to get in Waco and everything else, if I were a network programmer right now, I would take the high road and say, for one season, no made-for-TV docudramas. We're going to go back and make things up. Now, there may be violence in them, but we're not going to chase off the headlines and go down and do rights. We'll leave that to the other guys because of this frenzy. And at the end of the year, I would either be a wonderful promoted network programmer or else I would be fired because I would have lower ratings than the other guys.
The networks are facing a January 1st deadline issued by Paul Simon, Senator Paul Simon, mm-hmm. who said unless the TV industry comes up with some system of regulating itself, there's going to be legislation that will do the regulation. What's the inside buzz here? Is the industry going to come up with something?
Last inside buzz I had on this was, I guess, a conversation with Howard Stringer, who's the president of CBS, about 2 weeks ago. They're afraid inside the industry. A lot of this is very vague and probably his opinion, not everybody's. But they're afraid of forming any sort of a committee because of therefore validating the debate more than they want to. But the catch-22 there is if they don't assemble somebody, will Congress? And if Congress does, will it be an objective group or the same sort of dunderheads they've been having for the last – well, I shouldn't say they're all dunderheads. But, boy, if you watch enough TV to watch the debate about TV on TV, it's like, beam me up, Scotty. These people don't know what they're talking about, but they're up there talking about it.
What kind of precedent would it set if the industry did create some kind of body to regulate itself on violence?
Depends on what the mandate is. I mean, if it's something like the MPAA in motion pictures where all you're doing is saying, these are the general guidelines, let's put a rating system on. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think most viewers have a problem with that. When it comes to saying this sort of content cannot be in during these hours, then you're really defining you really are encroaching on First Amendment rights there.
You have young children.
Yeah, 9 and 11.
How do you deal with programs that you want to make sure they don't see?
Well, I don't let them see them. I mean, the idea of parents abdicating responsibility to the television set, I think, is ridiculous. And there are things that I have to – but even with Beavis and Butthead is a perfect example. I had to watch that for a long time and then even watch a couple episodes with my children before deciding I didn't want them to see it anymore. But they're aware of it. Sociologically, it's in the classroom and other parents do, but there were very specific objections that I had to the potentially imitative behavior and the language that I didn't want. On the other hand, I sit there and watch The Simpsons with my kids and have no problems as long as I'm there with my kids to say, this isn't proper, this is only a joke. If you're there as a parent, no matter what you decide is proper, that's TV doing its job, parents doing their job, entertainment doing its job.
You know, a lot of people in the debate are saying this. You might be a parent who's home and, you know, edits what their children see, but a lot of young, impressionable kids don't have parents who are at home or don't have parents who care enough.
Right, then they've
to
got
do the work.
Much bigger problems than television. That's the absolute truth. I mean, if the economy forces people so that they've got latchkey children, and if these, you know, if there's kids who are either watching television or else, you know, out looking at drug dealers on their streets, I mean, which is worse? I mean, with Japan is the only society that I know of that watches more TV than we do and that has more violent culture brought through television than we do. 1990 or 91, they had 87 deaths by handguns, and there were more than 10,000 in the United States. It's not television. It's not just television.
David Bianculli is TV critic for Fresh Air and the New York Daily News.